You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello everyone, a very warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. Good to have you with us. You join us on Sunday's edition of the podcast where the racing continues. Once again, we've got five meetings to look forward to. It's an early start time as well. We'll be live on Racing Radio from 11:35 a.m. James Norman and John O'Connell back in the studio. John Budden alongside them. We've got Kelso, Doncaster and Southwell domestic leaders racing at Limerick, where they've got a Grade 3 hurdle as the headline acts on the card there. And good racing at Leopardstown as well. We've got a pair of Grade 1s to get stuck into on Sunday with the Neville's Hotel Novices Chase and the Matheson Hurdle in terms of the Grade 1 races. Also a Grade 3 race on the card at Leopardstown as well. So five meetings in total. Going to be another busy day as this festive feast of racing continues. Sam Norris here on today's edition of the podcast, and Will Smith is alongside me. How are you, Will?
Very good, thank you.
Good.
How are you?
Yes, not too bad at all. Good Christmas?
Yeah, very nice. Thank you.
Yeah.
Very relaxed. A bit chaotic with the three children I've got, but
I can imagine, yeah.
Yeah, no, they were loving it. Of course, Christmas came for me on Boxing Day, though, when the racing actually gets underway. That enforced few days break before Christmas is... it's horrible, isn't it?
Yeah, because there's absolutely zero distractions, isn't there?
You can't busy
yourself with anything else. And of course, we had an extra day this year with it being a Sunday.
Right.
Normally, we're just off 23rd and 24th, aren't
we? That's right, yeah. So I had to wrap some Christmas presents and do some chores and
horrible
time.
Absolutely. It's good that we've got the racing back, and it's obviously been top quality stuff from Boxing Day onwards. We're going to reflect on Saturday's star names at the start of this edition of the podcast. Obviously, we had three Grade 1s to enjoy on Saturday, a couple of them over at Leopardstown and one at Newbury. We'll go through them in chronological order, starting with the Leopardstown race, then the Frank Ward Memorial Hurdle, formerly the Christmas Hurdle, I think this has been called in years gone by, and Apples Jade winning the race again. I mean, she's got a tremendous record at Leopardstown, perfect 5 from 5 now, and there was a time, you know, a year or so ago, I think it was the 2018 Cheltenham Festival, she got beat, was then beat again at Punchestown. Benny Dadier beat her on both occasions. And there was talk then of, well, she's probably gone. Her powers are waning. Then she went on a long winning streak. And before Saturday's race, there was talk once again of her perhaps having had enough. But she bounced back in no uncertain terms.
Yeah, she definitely did. I think the race was there. You know, this was kind of the acid test as to whether she was back in her absolutely scintillating form that saw her run up that sequence of Grade Ones back at this time of the year last year. Obviously, she won this race for the second time last year, and then she went on to win the Irish Champion Hurdle at the Dublin Racing Festival, beating the likes of Super Sunday, Petit Mouchoir and Mellon. So 3 miles to 2 miles last year. It'll be fascinating to see where they go with her next, because obviously the cheek pieces that she had on for the first time in this particular race clearly had a bit of an effect. They clearly galvanised her. I thought she was impressive, though. I mean, she's won by 17 lengths, so that sounds a bit of an easy statement to make. But the fact that, slightly naughtily, Kalulta Vic, horse of Willie Mullins, was in there and seemed to be in there to take on Apples Jade at the front end, maybe to set things up for Bacardi's, the more fancied of the Mullins horses you'd fancy. But Jack Kennedy and Apples Jade were able to see off Kalulta Vic from a fairly early-ish stage, actually. And then there was a point halfway down the back on the final circuit where the field just closed up to her a little bit and Jack gave her a squeeze and then as they swung down the side and into the straight, she really took off like she has done previously at Leopardstown. She clearly loves the gradual stiff uphill finish that you have there, and she cleared away nicely from, look, you know what I mean, Harry, on one hand you can say he's an 11-year-old, so probably a back number as such, but he has very, very good recent form. I mean, he was beaten slightly further behind Paisley Park at Newbury in the long distance hurdle there. But previous to that, he was only 5 lengths off the World's End, who went on to win the long walk hurdle at Newbury. Ascot. Sorry, these long walk, long distances. The 3 mile graded hurdle. So it's kind of a performance that, in terms of distance, which is a very rudimental way of doing it. But she's not far off Paisley Park in that sense. So I'd be amazed if, you know, when she gets to the Cheltenham Festival, she's never been quite seen to best effect at the Cheltenham Festival, has she? I know she won the Mayor's Hurdle in 2017, but it just hasn't quite suited her for some reason. And you'd fancy that, well, it would either be the Mayor's Hurdle again or maybe even a crack at the Stayers Hurdle this year.
Yeah, it's obviously won over 3 miles today. In years gone by, the Mayor's Hurdle has been the quote-unquote easier route, and it might just be, again, with the presence of obviously Paisley Park in the Stayers.
Potentially so, although you look at the some of the horses that should be up against in the Mayor's Hurdle. Obviously, Benny Didger is the main one that that springs to mind. And there's a fair few other decent horses in there as well that could potentially run. I mean, a few of them have gone chasing. Obviously, Lorena, although the fact that she had a disappointing chase run the other day, she might switch back. Honeysuckle is in there, who would probably go a favourite if she ran in the Mayor's Hurdle. There's talk of her going for the Champion Hurdle.
They must be tempted by that, you'd have thought.
Potentially so, but it depends what connections want to do. I think if... I mean, at this stage, maybe the Champion Hurdle looks like a slightly easier assignment way things are going. So it's really tough to know how things will shape up in that particular sphere. And look, Apples Jade has obviously run in the race a couple of times, and she has won the Mayor's Hurdle previously. So, and Gordon Elliott is very much of the thinking that he puts his horses in the races that they're most likely to win at the festival. And you felt that last year when she went for the Champion Hurdle that he was almost sort of press ganged into doing that.
Yeah, sure.
Because of the way she won the Irish Champion Hurdle. I think
there was public outcry for
there
it,
was.
Wasn't there? It was nearly knives and pitchforks if you hadn't sent her there.
Yeah, and it didn't obviously work out for whatever reason. Lovely to see her back.
Definitely so. 25-1, incidentally, for the Champion Hurdle, 12-1 for the Stayers Hurdle, and 5-1 for the Mayor's Hurdle, if you are looking to back Apples J for anything anti-post at the festival. We'll return to Leopard's Town in a moment. Want to talk Newbury, though. We had the Challow Hurdle, obviously one of the headline Grade 1 novice events of this time of year, won by Time Hill, who saw off the Cashel Man in a decent finish. They put Daylight between themselves and Amrillo, who was a distant third place. Great for Philip Hobbs to have a real class horse on his hands once again. And Time Hill keeps winning and keeps impressing. A different kind of impressive today, but impressive nonetheless against a horse in the Cashel Man who has made a nice start to his novice hurdle career.
Very much so, yeah. Almost a sort of conservative, reserved, impressive nature, wasn't it?
Yes.
For the Time Hill, because he's very much a horse that clearly just only does enough in his races. And in that respect, it's very hard to know just where the bottom is, or where the ceiling, should I say, of his ability level actually lies. We haven't got to it by any stretch yet. So he's had three runs over around about 2.5 so far this year. Obviously reappearing at Chepstow in October when he beat Fiddler on the Roof in the Persian War Grade 2 Novice Hurdle Air. The fact that Philip Hobbs pitched him into a Grade 2 on hurdle debut says a lot. He then went to the Grade 2 at Cheltenham's November meeting as well, the Ballymore sort of trial race, as it were, and beat likes of Champagne Well, Happy Go Lucky, and did it in nice fashion again. It's form probably that is going to have to be improved upon if he goes on to win at the festival. But today, I think, even though the Cashel Man was only rated 143 coming into this, he was a mid-hundreds rated horse on the flat.
Yep.
And really interestingly campaigned by Nicky Henderson last year, because he'd been kept as a novice hurdler for this year, despite being beaten twice in the early stages of 2019 by very, very good horses, by Just a Neck, Pym and Reserve Tank.
Yep.
So he obviously had very, very good form to bring into this, and he proved that by absolutely running away with a handicap hurdle over this course and distance at the Newbury November meeting when he beat Mr. Pumblechook by 10 lengths. Now, that's a piece of handicap form which is working out really well. So I think that in doing what he did to the Cashel Man today, where Dickie Johnson actually gave him a lot of ground, which over the hurdle track at Newbury is tricky to make up ground sometimes, and he came wide into the straight, and you always felt like he was confident of getting there. You know, he rode him with supreme confidence, but the way he sort of sidled up to the Cashel Man, and then over the last couple of flights he was just tossing around a bit as if he was sort of saying, well, is this all you've put in front of me?
Yes.
You know, I need something a bit more. And once Richard Johnson asked him to go about his business, he put the race to bed again in unspectacular fashion, but that's a lovely nature in a horse, and particularly for a horse that I think has Albert Bartlett written all over him. You know, you can see him travelling in the mid division of that race. You know, maybe coming off the bridle, or not off the bridle, but maybe just being squeezed into the bridle on occasions. But then when presented with the bottom of the hill after 2.5 miles, when all others are going, oh, I've had enough, you can sense that he might be one of those that is ready to really rock it up that hill. So it was a lovely performance, and one that screams that there's plenty more to come.
8-1 for the Albert Bartlett for Time Hill, 12-1 for the Ballymore. And our last recap before we turn our attention onto Sunday's action is the Savills Chase as well at Leopardstown, formerly the Lexus Chase in years gone by. Grade 1 3-mile chase won by Delta Work, who beat Monolee and Road to Respect. Perhaps a little bit disappointing, Kenboy back in fourth. Delta Work, I suppose, a few months to a year ago, I mean, this was everyone's Gold Cup horse. There was a real hype around Delta Work, which had maybe faded away, but a big statement win for the horse today.
Yeah, I think so. And another, you know, feather in the cap of Gordon Elliott as well, and his training talents, because Delta Work reappeared in the Grade 1 Champion Chase at Down Royal in early November, and it's probably a shade disappointing there when well beaten by Road to Respect. Has obviously turned around form in no uncertain fashion here. He just has the look of a horse that doesn't look like a proper Gold Cup horse. You know, he wears a hood and a tongue tie, and he just doesn't look overly straightforward, and he's not your archetypal big staying chaser as such. But what he seems to have is an engine, and he jumped okay for the most part today. He obviously finished a good third in last year's RSA, which at the time looked like it was the best piece of form people were willing to consider for various other races. Now, obviously, since then, Top of the Game has got injured, and Santini was slightly below par in the graduation chase at Sandown, maybe. So it's, people have gone slightly lukewarm on that.
Yeah.
But I think that's possibly slightly too early to do so. I still think Santini and Delta Work are two very, very good horses to look forward to for this season. Obviously, Delta Work, as he's won in the Savills Chase. But as a race, though, it was fascinating. There was, you know, five or six in it at the last. This race often produces a crackerjack finish, doesn't it? I remember back sort of eight or nine years ago, and I think Tidal Bay won it in sort of miraculous fashion, mowing down four or five horses in the shadows of the post under Ruby Walsh. And Jack Kennedy almost did a similar thing here on Delta Work. Now, he beat, obviously, Monolee and Road to Respect in second and third, and in just chinning them, you think, well, is that Gold Cup form? Possibly not. But then you look in behind, and Kenboy, having his first run of the year, obviously won this race spectacularly last year and went on to win at Aintree and Punchestown, didn't he? So the fact that he was making his seasonal reappearance, I think you can suggest that he'll come on quite markedly for that. Yep. And presenting Percy back in fifth, who'd run a cracker of a reappearance in the John Durkin as well. So I think it's pretty strong form, and not quite sure how to pick it apart just yet in terms of who I'd want to back for the Gold Cup. It's very hard to say. I'd probably think Kenboy is, even though he finished fourth here, he might well have just advertised his claims, because it he tipped up early in last year's Gold Cup, and he showed that he's come back in okay form, and I'm sure he'll improve on this for the Dublin Racing Festival.
Yeah, I was kind of the opinion coming into Saturday's race that Kenboy is the best 3-mile chaser either side of the Irish Sea. But it's worth mentioning as well, this win for Delta Work today is obviously a little bit of a form boost for Candace O'Bow as well, who finished in front of it at Down Royal.
Yep.
Obviously, Road to Respect was the winner on that occasion, and then Candace O'Bow's come out and obviously won the King George as well. So there's form that ties in with British runners as well, albeit we didn't have a British representative going over to contest that race on Saturday, but it does tie in nicely with Clanders O'Bow.
Yeah, absolutely. And Clanders O'Bow was obviously mightily impressive in winning his second King George. I think he is going to be a sort of Silvagnaco Conti type horse in that...
Just loves 3 miles at Kempton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he jumps slightly right, and he loves travelling off a strong pace, tracking the leaders at Kempton. Whether he's going to quite be the same horse around Cheltenham for the 3 mile, 2.5 furlongs of a Gold Cup, I'm not convinced. Paul Nicholls, I will probably try and get him to, because he loves trying to prove people wrong, I think. But that, in my mind, that would be the way I think about Clandes O'Bow. I don't think, even though he won spectacularly on Boxing Day, I don't think it proved he's any better horse than he was last year.
Yeah.
I think potentially Surname didn't quite stay. Footpad, whether he's quite up to that proper top staying level, and the rest were a bit much of a muchness really in behind. So, yes, he was impressive. It's just all a bit of a foggy picture at the minute, the Gold Cup all around. I don't really know which way to turn.
Yeah, indeed. At the minute. There's plenty of quality in there, that is for sure. We'll turn our attention on to Sunday's racing now. I've got a couple of races picked out. Don't forget the two grade ones, of course, at Leopardstown coming up a little bit later on in the day. But we start with Doncaster and their 11:55 race where we've got a handicap hurdle over 3 and a bit miles. And we're betting on this one already. Bossman Fred is 8-11, the favourite. Little Bruce is 6-1. Gangster is 8-1. Same Circus, 8-1. 9-1, all right. Jack, Snow Leopardess is 12-1, 14-1 for Divine Spirit. Los Alamos is 25-1. What's the pick at Doncaster, Will?
The pick here is All Right Jack for Jamie Snowden and Gavin Sheehan. Particularly, as you mentioned, those prices as well. I think all respect to our traders here at William Hill, they do a great job. But I don't know if I'd have Bossman Fred at 8-11.
Yep.
So, yes, he has been pretty impressive for the Skeltons. Obviously, Dan and Harry Skelton, when winning, more particularly at Southall last time out, when yes, he was 2-5 favourite, but he cleared away in the manner of a horse that potentially could be rated a bit higher than 1-2-4 in time. I think the handicap has been fairly lenient, which is why I imagine, you know, our traders have gone 8-11.
Yep.
And I respect that. 4-5 maybe as we speak.
They've
anyway
got this room booked.
Yeah, sorry. All Right Jack is a horse who comes out of the Silver Trophy on his seasonal debut at Chepstow, which is a race that seems to work out year on year. There are a whole host of winners that have come out of that particular race this year yet again. It really does just throw up winner after winner each season, bizarrely. And then All Right Jack was well backed for a Potemps qualifier at Newbury back in the early stages of November, where he perhaps just did a little bit too much on the front end there on that occasion. But he was beaten by the likes of Diablo de Rue, who I think will take higher order, both over hurdles and over fences as well. The likes of Dingo Dollar, Geordie B, there's a couple of horses in behind that have run well as well. This represents a drop in grade. And hopefully there's one or two pace setters in opposition here as well. So they might well allow Gavin Sheehan not to have to do too much work on All Right Jack. And I think a mark of 1-2-9, firstly, is very workable, certainly on that Chepstow piece of form. And equally, he's qualified for the Potemps final, but a mark of 1-2-9 won't get him in it.
Yep.
So this is an ideal opportunity to get his mark raised into the mid-130s, perhaps even slightly higher these days, to actually get him in the bottom end of the race. So it looks as if it's a, you know, Jamie Snowden and Gavin Sheehan would do everything they possibly can to either win the race or run very, very well
yes.
in the race. So a price of 9-1 as we speak, of course. It looks pretty tempting to me.
Yeah, definitely so. All right, Jack, then the pick in the 11:55 at Doncaster. We go across to Leopardstown then for the 120. This is a grade 3 mare's hurdle over 2.5 miles. Not betting on this one at the time of recording. What will be the choice there, Will?
Yeah, the choice is going to be Eglantine du Soy, who, of course, was the heroine in the mare's novice hurdle at the Cheltenham Festival last year when winning on seasonal debut, or sort of yearly debut, I guess, for Willie Mullins, when coming home 50-1, which is amazing for any Mullins horse to be sent off that price in a open company at the Cheltenham Festival.
Debut for the yard as well, wasn't it, I think, having come over from France, or had she
I think
had a run
Eglantine
de
Soil had a run for the yard. I think Concertista, who was
right,
second,
okay, yeah,
she
yeah.
was the one that was debuting
right,
for.
Yes.
For the yard, and then you had Elfiel back in sixth, who ran a cracker at 50-1 as well. So you got three Mullins horses in the top six of a Cheltenham Festival race at 50-1, 66-1, and 50-1. It was extraordinary, but two of those face off again here. Obviously, Elfiel is in this race as well. I respect her claims, but Eglantine de Soil is a horse that I think she wants further. The way that she went through that Cheltenham race suggested so, and then she went to the Grade One mares novice hurdle race at the Fairy House Irish Grand National meeting, when she was again beaten by Elfiel, but both of them were beaten by Honeysuckle. I think that was decent form. She then went to Punchestown for the Open Company Champion Novice Hurdle, and she improved again when being beaten only two lengths by Reserve Tank. Now, she reappeared in a listed race at Punchestown midway through November, when again she was beaten by a couple of today's rivals, Stormy Island and Black Tears, So all the way you look, she's actually been beaten by horses that reappear against her today. But it was the manner in which she went through her seasonal debut last time out and the way that she improved for each run last year that makes me think that despite the fact she has the biggest penalty to carry in this particular race, I think she might be the one to sort of gradually improve now as a lightly raced five-year-old over this kind of trip. And with the absolutely scintillating Rachel Blackmore in the plate as well, that's certainly no negative. Obviously, Willie Mullins has a few in the race. Paul Tanner and seems to have chosen Stormy Island, which I understand. But I think Eglantine Tosoi might be slightly forgotten about in the market as a result, and we can get something of a price.
Yeah, Stormy Island likely to be the choice of the market as well. Looking at a forecast at the moment, which always has to be taken with a bit of a pinch of salt, but yeah. 5-1 is the rough price.
Yeah.
You'd be happy enough with that?
Yeah, I think I would, yeah. Yeah, certainly given the manner in which she improved all the way through last season, and I think she'll improve again at this trip and perhaps even further in time as well. So yeah, that would be okay. I'd hope for bigger, but yeah, I'll take that if it's all that's on offer.
And there we are, then, the thoughts of Will Smith on Sunday's racing. Don't forget Racing Radio Live at 11:35 a.m. James Millman, John Budden and John O'Connell will be in the studio for 5 meetings in total. Kelso, Doncaster and Southwell domestically, Limerick and Leopardstown over in Ireland. Hopefully you can join us for that. Thank you very much, Will, and good luck on Sunday.
Cheers, Sam. Thank you.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.